At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Nettleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You find us today in Cardiff, the proud capital city of Wales. Although officially joined with England in 1536, the principality has preserved a unique character thanks to a resilience born of fighting successive invasions. In turn, Romans, Saxons and Vikings were repelled by tribes banding together to terrify them with their fierce displays of close harmony singing. It was King Edward I who made his eldest son Prince of Wales, but it wasn't until this century that close ties between title and country were forged. It was the smartly dressed Edward, later King Edward VIII, who made famous the Prince of Wales cheque, which he bounced in the dog and bucket election 1911. As king, he was forced to abdicate for his love of divorcee Wallis Simpson. Those ignorant of the period have fallen for the myth that her first husband was called Homer. Wallis was, of course, married to Gromit. Famous Welshmen include Owain Glyndŵr, who gave his name to the separatist movement, the Sons of Glyndŵr. Poet Dylan Thomas, who gave his name to the American folk singer Bob Thomas. And, of course, Ron Davies, who gave his name to a total stranger on Clapham Common. Before going back to his place for dinner. In all seriousness, we should spare a thought for such lonely souls who, without a friend or acquaintance to share the burden of desperation, routinely resort to imposing their tired old stories on unsuspecting members of the public. Let's meet the teams. They are on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Max Boyce and Tim Brooke-Taylor. And making sure the team's points are quickly entered in the right place is our lovely scorer, the ever delightful Samantha. Okay, let's kick off with a game called Undelivered Letters from History. In days of yore, many important messages doubtless went uncommunicated. I'd like the teams to suggest what unsent letters or cards might have changed the course of history. Barry, will you start, please?
A letter that Captain Scott never got. What about Hawaii this year? Yours, Oates.
Graham.
One from Winston Churchill. Dear Bomber Harris, surprised to hear you're planning to bomb Dresden. I said destroy the enemy's armament factories, not their ornament factories.
Tim.
To Cleopatra from Ptolemy's Pets R Us, Cairo. Dear Cleopatra, as requested, please find the wasp enclosed.
Max.
Dear Adam and Eve, care of the Garden of Eden, no doubt you'll be surprised to receive this letter, as I know from God that you were under the impression that you were the first people on earth. However, please accept this apple as a token of our desire for peace. A peaceful coexistence. Yours sincerely, Gareth and Rhiannon. King Coyne.
One from Joan of Arc to her mum. The Dauphin has booked me a gig at Rouen. Hope he's right about the warm welcome.
Letter to all the rugby players from the Welsh Rugby Football Union, dated about 1976. Dear players, of course you can be paid for playing. We want to keep the best rugby team in the world, don't we? Do you think we're stupid?
Dear Alexander Fleming, your lab's filthy.
Dear Juliet, Romeo says he's not free Saturday night. How about me, love, Will Carling?
Dear King Agamemnon. Troy, please find enclosed the wooden horse you ordered.
faithful in every detail apart from the scale. If we followed your measurements, we'd have finished up with a hollow edifice capable of holding a small army.
Funnily enough, James, I've just received this telegram, which was sent to me in 1972. It's from a Mr. Cubby Broccoli, and it reads, Sean retiring, stop. Bond, part yours, stop. For God's sake, don't sign radio contract, stop. Okay, time for a musical round now, which is a revised version of the popular One Song to the Tune of Another. They do say the best ideas are the simplest, so how, you may ask, could this simple concept possibly be improved? Well, several alternatives were market-tested by the Radio 4 Panel Game Music Round Focus Group. This is a representative body of listeners selected personally by the controller of Radio 4 to respond accurately with the program profile exactly matching the requirements of the controller of Radio 4. They decided that after 27 years' continuous usage, the listeners still quite like One Song to the Tune of Another, and there was no valid reason for a change. Which is why they've come up with a replacement. It's called Only Connect the Words of One Song to the Tune of Another, but without its king's stupid words. However, one element the controller decided couldn't possibly be improved is the piano accompaniment of Colin Sell. Max, you can start now. Would you please sing the words of Heartbreak Hotel to the tune of The Ash Grove?
Now since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. Down at the end of Lonely Street at Heartbreak Hotel. I'm so lonely, I'm so lonely that I could die. And though it's always crowded, you can still find some room for broken-hearted lovers who cry there in the gloom. And I'd be so lonely, oh so lonely, oh so lonely they could die.
Hey, it's you now, Tim. Will you please sing the words of Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick? To the tune of Get Me to the Church on Time.
In the deserts of Sudan and the gardens of Japan, from Milan to Yucatan, every woman, every man, hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me, je t'adore. Ich liebe dich. Hit me, hit me, hit me. For God's sake, hit me with your rhythm stick.
Graham, now, will you please sing the words of Kung Fu Fighting to the tune of Green Sleeves?
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those cats were as fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening, but they fought with expert timing. There were funky Chinamen from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up, and they were chopping them down.
Finally, Barry, would you please sing the words of Marvin Gaye's classic I Heard It Through the Grapevine?
Wait. Look,
to the tune of Leaning on a Lamppost.
You're wondering how I knew about your plans to make me blue with some other guy you knew. Because between the two of us, guys, you know, I love you more. It took me by surprise, I must say, when I found out yesterday, don't you know, that I heard it through the grapevine. Not much longer would you be mine. Oh, I heard it through the grapevine. Oh, I'm just about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, well, turn up nice again.
Yeah. I say, it's now time to play the local version of our own game, Cheddar Gorge, called Carefully Gorge. It's just one of many games taking their titles from Welsh place names. There's Welsh Pool, a game like Nine Ball Pool, except the winner's the one who gets the black sheep in his pocket first. Then there's Cardigan Bay, which involves offshore swimming and assorted items of knitwear. And, of course, there's Mount Snowdon. A pastime devised in the 1950s by Princess Margaret. Well, as the name Caerphilly Gorge so obviously implies, the object of the game is to create a sentence one word at a time, but without ever completing the sentence. If I judge that a full stop has been reached, then you'll hear this noise. Okay, this week's subject is last-minute Christmas gifts, and will you start, please, Tim?
I
want
a
very
funny
and
seasonal
book.
And
it
is
available in most
Welsh
and English and
high quality
bookshops all over
most
of
the
outlying
wet and
it
is
called
the
official
limerick collection
from
I'm
sorry
I haven't a clue.
God knows what all that was about. Okay, let's move on, teams. You wouldn't want to peak too early. Now, if I were to say, out to lunch, you might think, why should we care where Michael Winner is between breakfast and dinner? But in fact, out to lunch is the title of our great new game, which is all about the kind of notes various people or organizations might leave if they popped out for a short while. So, suggestions, please. Graham, will you start?
One from Nicholas Soames. Gone to lunch back in April.
Peter Mandelson's door just says, I'm out.
Max Boyce, just popped out for a leak. And Melinda Messenger, just popped out.
Back shortly to lose the trek.
There's one from Kate Moss, gone to lunch back now, actually.
The Queen, gone to launch.
Barbara Cartland, completely out to lunch.
Maybe we won't come back at all. The Apathy Society.
General Custer, me and the lads have popped out for an Indian.
Quasimodo, out to hunch. Large bells, please.
This is just wishful thinking. The goodies, back in fashion.
And John McCririck, gone to lunch, back naughty boy in the 3:30 at Haydock Park.
I won't be long, Mike Atherton.
Okay, we have a musical round now called Name That Tune, in which Colin Sell plays the piano. This mustn't be confused with the similar game called Mame That Tune. In which Colin Sell plays the piano. We're playing this in tribute to the popular show Name That Tune, in which members of the public would have to identify brief excerpts of classic tunes that had only been slightly disguised. And we have to thank a Mr. Lloyd Webber for copyright permission. This week, Colin will be playing a selection of pieces from his seminal work, Colin Sell's Carnival of the Animals. While the team should use their skill and judgment to assess which animal is being musically portrayed. Teams, feel free to buzz in if you identify anything. Okay, quote, off you go, Colin, unquote. Challenge from Tim.
Sloth.
Shall I start, Hump?
Yes.
Stick insect.
No.
Yeah, Barry.
Is there a mousy context here, Colin?
Yes. Very good.
Oh, I got it then.
Yes.
Carry on. Tim.
An ant. Got to make allowances. He does bang it a bit.
Graham.
Well, was it an anteater? Captain Corelli's pangolin.
No.
Was it an elf ant?
Ah. Yes. Here's the next one.
I give up.
Shall I play it again, Hump?
Yes.
An owl.
No, it was a duck.
Oh,
good Lord, who'd have thought it? I had black hair when that started.
We're going to borrow a round now from the Guardian newspaper called Notes and Queries. Actually, this week's edition appeared as Quotes and Neris, an eclectic discussion of the insightful social commentary and acerbic witticisms of Neris Hughes. Obviously, we haven't time to go through all of those, so we'll be playing the original version of the game. I brought along a selection of my favourite notes and queries harvested from the column, to which I'd like the teams to provide solutions. And Tim, we'll start with you. In the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve's sons, Cain and Seth, both married. Where did their wives come from?
The Philippines. Well, Max was telling me about Splot earlier. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to have to tell you, they married their sisters.
Mm. Well, back to Splot again.
Barry?
Yes?
Oh, sorry.
We're going out for a walk later.
Barry, where does the expression, the full Monty, come from?
Well, there are many theories involving card games and things, but it does come from the Second World War in the desert. General later Field Marshal, Lord Montgomery, the full Monty means the full equipment. His caravan had everything. He even had his own choir boy, who later wrote a book entitled I Was Monty's Treble.
Well, it's probably a reference to the hire of formal clothes from the outfitters Montagu Burton, now known as Burton's, and how infinitely boring. Graham, now, do birds ever suffer from fear of heights?
Well, yes, Humph, that's why they flap their wings.
Don't get narky with me. I'm only reading these things. The answer is yes. Okay, Max. Oh, no. There's a bit more here. There's evidence that young birds do. I've forgotten what they do, but they do. Okay, Max, who are the peculiar people and what were their peculiarities?
Well, the peculiar people and peculiarities were two brothers from Swansea. One had a huge eye in the middle of his head. and one had an enormously long ear that went down past his knees. And no one took them. They wanted to be sailors, but no one would take them on board because they were so peculiar. But one captain, forced to take them on, took them on, and they sailed for weeks and weeks out to sea. And they hit a reef, and all the navigation instruments were destroyed. And one of the brothers said, let my brother climb the mast and look as far as he can see with his huge eye. And he can see as far as he can see, and he can tell where land is. And the captain said, fair enough. So he climbed his mast, climbed the top mast, he looked. And he went back to the captain, he said, yes, land is 170 miles away, and he said, in Spanish. And the captain said, how? He said, I can believe you can see land, he said, with that big eye, 178 miles away. But how do you know it is Spain? He said, my brother heard him talking. They were the peculiar people.
I expect that's probably true, isn't it, Humph?
Yeah. It is true, yes, they were. Okay, here's one. Why do we kiss?
It was a moment of madness, Humph.
We are what we are, Hum.
There's no need to resign.
Apparently, kissing is merely the way by which lovers test each other's semiochemicals, the chemical substances that communicate biological signals between animals. What's that got to do with us? Well, it says here it's time to hear the teams entertain us by singing. I've waited 27 years and it hasn't happened yet. They're going to play a round called Censored Song, which is their protest against the high levels of blatant sexual innuendo polluting our airwaves these days. Whatever became of the classic broadcasting style of the 50s and 60s? We didn't need gratuitous filth to enjoy Hans and Lottie Haas in the foothills of the Himalayas, with Hans demonstrating the innocent pleasure of mounting an elephant. Or Lottie getting ready to take one up the Khyber. With that picture in mind, Barry and Graham are going to start with their censored version of Strangers in the Night.
Strangers in the night, exchanging, ing in the night, what were the chances we'd be? Before the night was through, something in your... was so inviting, something in your was so exciting, something in mine told me I must you. Strangers in the night, two lonely people, we were strangers in the night, up to the moment when we our first, little did we know, was just a way of warm embracing, a way. Ever since that night, we together, lovers at first sight, in love forever, it turned out so right.
And credit where credit's due, a piano accompaniment was provided there by our resident recording artiste, Colin Sell. We followed Colin's career for years, but were surprised to learn how often he changes labels. Most afternoons, you'll find him marking down the cheap stuff in Tesco. Okay, your turn. Tim and Max, would you please provide a censored version of You'll Never Walk Alone?
Through the rain, though you're
Okay, teams, well, I notice it's very nearly the end of the show, but it's just time for the teams to suggest some new additions to the great canon of Welsh song. Samantha has to nip off to the National Opera, where she's been giving private tuitions to the singers. Having seen what she did with the baritone, the director is keen to see what she might do for a tenor. So, while she's away, I'll ask the teams to nominate their entries for an updated Welsh songbook. And Max, will you start, please?
Bob Dylan, knock, knock, knock on Evan's door.
Oasis, don't look you back in anger.
Newport, Newport, so good they named it twice.
The Flintstones. Yabba dabba dare.
3 degrees, when will Di see who again?
Relax, Frankie Goes to Holyhead.
Is this the way to Aberystwyth?
I love Powys in the springtime.
That great number, Copa, Copa, Carnarvon.
And the old hit, Dave Clark 5, and I'm feeling Gladys all over.
Swansea, how I love you, how I love you.
Baby, it's mould outside.
Bridge end over troubled water.
What did you do, Ron Ron?
So, ladies and gentlemen, as the great tit of time nibbles through the gold top of eternity, and the unseen mouse droppings of fate nestle in the crunchy fruit and nut muesli of destiny, I notice it's the end of the show. So, from the team Samantha, myself, and the fine folk of Cardiff, it's goodbye.
Timbrook Taylor, Barry Cryer, Graham Garden and Max Boyce were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.